He couldn't find the thing I lost, so I had to do it over again.
Aww. Couldn't find the thing that never existed.
never existed. Well, it never existed in computer world. It certainly existed in my world.
Before we start this morning, I can make believe this isn't the case and lie and have an explosion a week from now, or I can do what I'm going to do, which is something just happened that it hasn't happened for a long time. About a half hour, 45 minutes ago, a switch turned in my head and I went into overload panic. It was because I woke up thinking about overhearing a conversation about Pete possibly going away for a week before it's the day to go to storage to get the stuff for the week, where I don't have the energy to do Passover. After hearing that conversation and chewing on it when I woke up this morning, then I opened my email, and there's an email from the British TV people that I haven't opened yet, but I know what it's going to be. It's going to be another thing where I have to go find shit, transfer it, get it out of here, blah, blah, blah. I'm panicked. What to do. I've spent 45 minutes trying to not be panicked, and I can fake it probably for a few more days, but it's just faking it. I've got that I'm going to fall off the edge of the building feeling, and I don't know what to do other than tell everybody.
What do you think it is? Why is that?
It's failure and embarrassment. I don't have what it takes. I said this at my first group meeting. I can't go up and down the ladder. I can't carry shit. I can't hammer nails.
It doesn't have anything to do with any of that. It has nothing to do with what you can or can't do. It has to do with your need for performance in order for do you have acceptance.
Right. And I just I can't.
But can't. Stop. That's what you can or can't do is immaterial to it. That's just your spin on it. Because it makes it sound righteous.
How does it sound righteous?
Because I'm so weak and I'm so old and I'm so messed up, but yet I continue to have all this stuff to do, and now Pete's going to leave for a week, and I want to have a pre-prepared excuse so when I fail, I will have told everybody about it.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I'm thinking about 40 years ago. That the idea of having an excuse before I fail makes sense. But
well, it's not just an excuse before you fail; it's an excuse to justify failure. It's because you've now publicly said it, and so it's somebody else's problem. The problem is not to have a problem. I mean, for years and years you've done this. 40, 50 years, probably your whole life.
Did you just say that what I'm doing right now is manipulation?
No. There's nothing wrong with you.
There's two options. Walk away and make believe everything's okay, or do what I'm doing.
No, there's another option.
What's that option?
Repentance.
I'm trying.
Okay, well,
I can't. I know I can't. Once this happens, I can't do it by myself.
Well, that's fine. But it really it is almost, and I'm sorry to say this, but it's like a cartoon. And it's like the Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. And guess which one you are.
Yeah, I know. I know that. And I know. And this hasn't happened in a long time, but it's happened. I'm there now. I'm in the movie. I'm not watching it.
Well, but the point of it is that stop watching the movie. I mean, the whole point of it is your life has nothing to do with you. You've been bought with a price. And I don't know how to make that clear. You have gone from continuing with him in his test into believing you are performing. And you're going to either get kudos, you're going to work it out so that you get, or if you don't, you're going to work it out so you have an excuse. And it's all, and it's exactly what we're talking about. It is the fruit of not having entered into his rest. There still remaineth a Sabbath for the people of God, for you, that you can enter into that rest, and then everything is equal. There's nothing that...
Well, that's how I felt until about an hour ago. I can't communicate.
Yes, you can, Gary.
It's like I got shot.
But it didn't happen an hour ago. If it stays the pattern, it happened because something back here, a little time ago, you had an attaboy, or you wanted one, or you got something right, or you thought this was really good, or there was some transaction that preceded the panic. This is the fruit of the transaction. It's not the transaction. Does that communicate?
Well, I mean, I hear what you said. I'm trying to think of what in the world it could be.
Well, it doesn't matter. The point of it is that it has nothing to do with you.
Hello?
You've been deceived. The deception isn't about anything. It isn't about Pete going or not going. It isn't about it's about you. So therefore, everything, now the weight of the world is on your shoulders. Everything is wrong, and the universe is going to collapse if you don't do what you think you should, and you're going to be alone and have to go back to New Jersey.
Right.
Well, that's the stupidest lie in the universe. There's nothing, there's no value to it. Why would you want to believe that lie?
I don't know that I do. I mean, I just don't know how to get out of what I'm in.
Well, again, it can't be nourished. It can't be soothed. It has to be killed. This is what your identity is supposed to do. It's supposed to make you feel so important. You could probably list four or five other things that have led up to it also. Take it to the end. What's the worst case? Go ahead and let your mind go all the way to the end. What about anything you said has anything to do with you?
I have to reschedule Passover. Won't be able to print the next issue of the magazine.
That's goofy. You think you're the ones? You're the reason that we have the magazine and that we have Passover.
No.
But that's what you're saying. You're saying you're so important to the publication of the magazine and to the feasts that if Pete goes away and you are not able to do anything, that everything is going to fall apart.
Well, except for the I'm so important part.
Well, how did it get to be your concern if you don't think you're important?
Who will do the funding request for the magazine?
Who will do the what?
Who will do the funding request for the magazine?
Well, that'll take care of itself. Do you really think that if you died, that all the universe that you were involved in would fall apart?
Oh no, I think you'd find somebody would be provided to do what I do. I don't think that. I just think I'm going to fuck up.
No, that's not what you. That's what your conscience says. The subconscious, the thing says, I'm so important. Otherwise, you couldn't possibly think that. You couldn't possibly think that if you screwed up, the world would come to an end, which is what you're saying, your world. Well, it really is about what we're going to study. So let's.
Let me make one comment that won't leave my head here. I had a similar moment last night where I was really stressed out about my divorcing and job, you know, and it's just playing. And I walked in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, it was, I just realized I was, there was no faith. I just didn't believe that my job was about to and I was going to go down too. And I saw the stupidity, and I said, "What the hell? I'm just going to start believing this." And it was an assault on my flesh. It didn't want to go that route because it already adopted the consequences and wanted to play them out. But I just kind of blew that off, and as Joyce Sullivan would say, I started believing. And the whole cloud, black cloud, just had no place to stick in the way. But I laughed at myself. I just saw how stupid and ridiculous I was because God has come through all that.
Well, but again, the faith that we're talking about sees everything falling apart and isn't concerned about it. Sees every aspect of everything you're doing just blowing away in the wind. And it doesn't matter because you're anchored to something that is beyond anything. Your faith and your worth isn't in anything you do. Your security isn't in anything that's any performance. But it, even in your small talk, it's a tell. You believe that you're accepted because you have this particular performance or these particular stories or something's going on. Your acceptance doesn't have anything to do with that. And in a very real sense, in a core level, you believe that your acceptance has something to do with my response to you. And so you get totally freaked if I sort of ignore you. I mean, it's all back. You're still the little boy, afraid of your father, and having to do everything right in order to have a secure home.
It's true.
But that's a lie, and you've seen it a lie. You know it's a lie. You have seen over and over and over that's a lie. But it's comfortable, believe it or not, for you to do this because it elevates the beast. And so there is no Sabbath rest. There is no, you know, it's not a, you know, this. you couldn't go more than a Sabbath day's journey, right? How far is it to, how many, and that Sabbath day's journey is 2,000 feet. If you went more than 2,000 feet, you were cut off from the people. How far is it to Passover?
2 weeks.
Yeah, but that's the point of it is, it's an infinite number of yards and cubits away from now because now is the only time.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have any problem now.
Okay? So how far is it till the funding request to...
Well, I've done what I've been talking to other people about, what the mind does. I have taken this, and this, added it up, projected it out here, and come up with different scenarios and said, uh-oh.
Well, here's what I want you to see, though. I want you to see, though, what the Sabbath day's journey really means.
And I think it's righteous to do that.
Listen, okay? Drop all that a minute. I want you to see, not just you, I want you to... Everybody here, especially Gary, I want you to see what a Sabbath day's journey really is. It's you can how long 2,000 cubits or 200? What is it? Yeah, 2,000 cubits, a little more than a half mile. It's essentially the distance that you can see anything. You can't have a Sabbath day's journey. You have to leave the Sabbath day's journey if you do anything in your mind, because you're projecting forward in time, and that's an infinite number of cubits away. So you've automatically violated that. So once you do that, and then you try to use all the spiritual gimmicks to get back, you can't do it until you repent from taking this from going more than the Sabbath day's journey. And that has to be true every single second, every single day. That's part of what it means. Gary, what's going on?
I'm just pressing on the eye.
It's what it means to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. But once you leave, and that's what your mind does. You try to take God to a place that He isn't. And why do you do that? You do that because you still have this issue of not wanting faith. Because the risk of faith, you lose the right to judge for yourself that the condition you're in should be different. And you love to do that because it elevates you. Not just you, everybody.
I'm constructing this error castle, whatever it is, and I come in here and say something in hopes of fixing the thing
that you've made up
2 weeks in the future. Fixing these made up things is what I want.
And so you're building your house on sand.
Yeah, not
even
sand.
Well, on air.
Air.
But it's the same with these alleged ideas and plans. You go, just take one element of what the Sabbath really means. And that means you cannot go further than the Sabbath day's journey. Think of what your mind does. You got the mind, as I said, on the Sabbath, all creative effort stops because you're acknowledging Him as the only creation or creator. Okay? That's not... Okay, the type was to see it just on... That was one day of the week. But if you have any sense of reading the Scriptures, you see that that Sabbath is another revelation of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Sabbath. He is my life. And all the laws, there are 46 death penalty offenses that are the minutiae of what went on in the temple. And I promise you, if you either look at them and say, oh crap, this doesn't apply to me. I'm not going to do anything. This is gone. This is silly. Or you maybe pay attention to what Jesus said, that they all testify of Him in some way. And so that's what I did all those years. I saw how we are guilty of each one of those things. And so if you have to come to the place where thought is the idea of thinking becomes strange to you. There's silence in the temple. But my God, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you all things freely. But he can't. Your iniquity has separated you. What is the iniquity? Your self-concern. It separated you from him. Go to Isaiah 59. God, we never did do what I want to do.
I'm there.
And because we can't, I'm going to get so... I'm just so troubled, and it just wells up in me, and I can't help it, and I'm just so nervous and anxious, and... That's so gay. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Now, again, well, I can't apply it to me. Oh, yes, it does, because that's what you've done in your mind. You have elevated yourself to the position of the God of your universe, learning all of the principles of how-tos, and so you are, it's the I ams of Isaiah 14, of the evil one. That's all you. That's all this thing can do is the I ams. And then you say, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. Well, then just listen. It's fun because I overhear your conversations, and it is a cartoon, because in the conversations that go on, you can see how they've totally forgotten everything that was said that morning in Bible study. Why? Because you haven't seen this iniquity that you do in your mind, which is what is separating you from the source of all things. You are at the source of all power, all wealth, all things, all creation. You're connected, you're partaker. How about that's not good enough for me. I gotta go here and concern myself and think about this. And you think, well, nobody. I mean, if I would have, I would have panicked to no end. I lost about untold hours of work. It just disappeared because. I saved it wrong in the stupid computer, and hadn't labeled it and saved whatever he'd do with. I don't even remember, but it was gone, and even Kevin couldn't find it, and I had to do it all over again last night.
Were you furious?
Huh?
Were you furious?
No.
So you did your homework, but the dog ate it.
Now, the point of it is, this is the second time that that has happened.
God ate it.
No, but I mean, if I was panicking because John is leaving, and I'm not. I mean, I can't write. I can put down a bunch of stuff, and then John fixes it. And I needed John to fix it. I mean, I don't trust anybody else to fix it, and so everything was wrong. And I said, this is stupid. So I just stayed up a little later and redid it. I didn't do it as well the second time, but John was going to fix it anyway. And so the whole point of, I mean, every one of us, you're never not subject to it. It's always right in front of you. You can always take yourself seriously. That's essentially what you're doing. Oh, I'm so important. There's a fight. Oh God, I'm so important that I am righteous in my feeling panic. Whoa. Even though it's understandable that you're hardwired to do that. But remember the Sabbath day's journey. Just if you remember nothing else this morning, remember the Sabbath day's journey, and if you accept maybe a little bit the possibility that Jesus Christ himself is the Sabbath, and we are entered into his Sabbath rest, and we've ceased from our own labors, then maybe the Sabbath day's journey, the 2,000 cubits, has something going on. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should see that if when I do go more than a Sabbath day's journey, then I get all bent out of shape.
Well, I like that thought that if this doesn't work out, I can always take myself seriously.
Yeah.
It's always there to fall back on.
No, I can always, I mean, that's the craziest thing in the universe, to take yourself seriously. I mean, I would panic every day because I don't know what I'm going to talk about. If I took myself seriously, because this is...
Thank God you have faithful people like Gary and myself who provide you with things.
Ammunition. No, this Sabbath thing is really important. And it's Hebrews, and I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Hebrews said that it's so important that there remaineth a sabbatunal or Sabbath for the people of God. And that's what all of those cloud of witnesses are waiting. They're waiting for you to enter the Sabbath, so they can be complete, because they can't be complete without us.
I just think that what a huge idol this fear of failure is, and the fear of your universe falling apart. And even like what I commented about last night, and your response to me was, you know, even if things do go to hell, that's, you know, that's not your life, that's not where you live. But the fact is that most of the time is where we live.
But that's the issue.
Yeah, and so if we can't see that,
then you won't hear anything else.
Yeah, because we're still going to walk out of here fearing failure and fearing men's faces. They're both the same, because we're going to have to look at other people scorning us or
making fun of you.
Making fun of us, thinking thoughts about us, or whatever the crap.
Oh, yeah. Picking on Ronnie. The picking on Ronnie syndrome.
Poor Ronnie.
No, where did it come from?
I remember you talking years ago, first time I heard it, about what logos is. Jesus Christ here now. One time and space, not someplace else, not some other time, here now. And that's what I'm hearing about the Sabbath day's journey, is don't go out of the Sabbath. Don't forward, backward, left, right, here now.
No.
And here now, I don't have any problems. Everything's wonderful.
Well, all I want you to do is let's take things in baby steps here. All I want you to do is see what the Sabbath, see how the Sabbath day's journey has to be violated you automatically violate it in your thought process. I've said this before, but I don't think anybody ever heard me. Now, it's because of his long suffering that we haven't been destroyed for the 45 million Sabbath days journeys that we've taken probably in the last few days. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you all things freely. Therefore, you cannot take any pride in success nor any fear of failure. It's just goofy. Whatsoever you do in thought, in word, in deed, you do heartily as unto God. Well, that means I have to do my very best. Well, that's again the evil one speaking. It means that the results aren't your business. The effect of what you do is no longer any of your concern. That's what it means to do heartily as unto the Lord in thought, in word, in deed. And therefore you walk in freedom. That nothing can rob that freedom except you. You can rob yourself, which is just goofy. I'm gonna pull off this big heist here, and I'm gonna rob myself.
I'm gonna break and steal my own TV. Is the Sabbath likened maybe to the sheepfold?
No, the Sabbath is Jesus Christ.
I know that.
But see, the sheepfold is likened to the body.
But you can go in and out, is what I was saying.
Well, yeah, if you're stupid.
It says you can do it.
Huh? Well, you can go in and out because you got to go out to get, if you're going to learn the lesson all over again. But everything that's necessary is in the ark or in the sheepfold or every other parable. And but you got to go think, well, the grass is greener over there, or there's a good idea over there, and I've got to go over here. And so you go out and in and out and in until you get tired of it, until you're fed up with it, and then you don't go out anymore. Then you're seated with them in the heavenlies. You don't leave. No. No, it was a good example of how he's affected. I mean, he has mercy for our rebellion, but my God, our rebellion has to stop someday. You can't presume that the next day it's going to be more grace. Then you are reprobate and that's your condition, because you've justified rebellion.
What I'm hearing loud and clear this morning is what we talked about yesterday and the day before, which is today.
Now is the accepted time. Now is the only accepted time. That's why the world system is based on tomorrow, because tomorrow always has to imply, in order to achieve tomorrow, you have to have ambition. Well, I don't give a crap what I achieve or don't achieve tomorrow. It's none of my business. So I am ambitionless. I don't care if we stop the door or stop investigating. I don't even care if Trinity Foundation falls apart. Because we're not Trinity Foundation, we're not the door, we're not investigations, we are a body of people that cannot be destroyed. The gates of hell can't stand against it. The only thing that can stand against it is your own mind. And if you haven't seen that over and over and over again, you're really silly. And this is why I get so upset when somebody thought this place was special or what we're saying is special. No, it's not. It's just what the grace that God has given us for whatever purpose. But it's no more different or no special. There's no speciality.
Anything is special, then there's obligation.
Yeah. You gotta you're responsible for this great blah, blah, blah.
Feeling your concern, you're saying, I have an obligation to do the funding proposal. I have an obligation to get the door out. I have an obligation to get the Passover done. And that's your debt. You feel the weight of the debt.
And finally, the weight just gets so much that I'll fall apart. But every second of every day, you have to be light as a feather. What?
Oh, I'm thinking of Stephen Wright, who you don't know who that is, but most Americans do. And he said, you know that feeling you get when you're leaning back in a chair and it starts to tip? He said, that's how I feel all the time.
Who is Stephen Wright?
He's just a comic that does observational humor. That's how I feel all the time.
Why would you quote him?
Because it's appropriate. The feeling that I got sitting at my computer this morning was the feeling you get when you're tipping back in a chair and suddenly
it starts to fall.
Okay. Now he's mad at me again. See, he can't go 10 seconds without getting mad at me about something. Did you hear that, righteous? All right. Anybody have any other? Huh?
I can't say why I bother. Getting mad at you is like getting mad at a cat. Wasted energy. Wasted energy.
That was pretty good, so.
I don't know that I would have used the word cat, but I agree with you.
Anybody have any other response?
Thank you. No, I'm dead serious. Thank you. I came in here ready to scream and kill myself.
Well, the other day, Gary came up here ready to leave.
Oh, I was ready to go, too. That's what I mean by scream. I just mean just go out the door.
Never come back. Gary.
Keep it back. Hey.
Now, Gary went out for coffee the other day and came back 3 months later. And he held Judy hostage. Of course, then we have Granny. Ronnie goes out for a taco and comes back 3 days later. Take it, big guy. I don't want to talk anymore. And I'm sure you don't want to hear me anymore.